God's grace and mercy and peace are yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is recorded in John chapter 18, reading from verse 3 as follows. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." This is the word of our God. Dear fellow redeemed, have you ever thought about how often Jesus, during his earthly ministry, failed to come right out and say who he was? I mean, you think about, for example, the time he spent with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. First thing he says is not, "You know who I am, right?" No, he asks for a cup of water, has a conversation with her to kind of uncover where she is in her spiritual life. And then when she finally says, "I know Messiah will come," only then does he say, "I who speak to you am he." Or you think about how often Jesus told people that he did miracles for. Now, don't tell anybody what I just did for you. Or he told his disciples, "Don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ." Why? Why not? Because so many people in Jesus' day had a misguided perception of what the Messiah would do. They thought he was going to come to throw off the Roman rule or fill their bellies with food. And so, for the most part, Jesus tried to kind of tamp down those false expectations. He oftentimes said, in effect, "Quiet. Don't tell anybody. Let's keep my identity a secret." Now recognize that by the time Maundy Thursday rolled around, everything had changed. When Jesus is confronted by the guards who come looking for him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he doesn't say to his disciples, "Now remember, don't tell anybody who I am." No, by this time, when he asks, "Who are you looking for?" he clearly says, "I'm the one. I am he." These are three words of truth that Jesus speaks. I am he. Tonight we want to take a little closer look at the time Jesus spent there in the garden with these guards and learn three things about Jesus. We learn that, first of all, he is the Almighty God. Secondly, he is the selfless servant. And finally, he is our loving shepherd. Can you picture the scene? Jesus has just had the Last Supper with his disciples, and he leads them out of the city, down across the brook Kidron, and up onto the mount where there is a grove of olive trees where Jesus often met with his disciples. It's dark. It's night. And so he asked his disciples, "Please watch and pray with me while I wrestle with my Father in prayer." Well, they don't do a very good job of that, right? Three times they fall asleep until finally Jesus says to them, "Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." That's where our text for tonight picks up. John tells us, "So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. In other words, they had all the tools that they thought they would need to make sure that Jesus wouldn't escape into the darkness. But notice what John tells us next. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" Now don't miss that phrase, knowing all that was going to happen to him. This is a reminder to us that even in his state of humiliation, Jesus was still the omniscient God. He knew everything. Even though those soldiers didn't know which one was Jesus, they had asked Judas, Jesus knew them all by name. He knew their parents. He knew what they had for breakfast. He knew what was in their hearts. But not only did he know who they were, he knew what they and others were going to do to him. He knew exactly the anguish that he would endure. He knew how many stripes would be on his back, how many pints of blood he would lose, how many hours he would hang on the cross. And yet, in spite of what he knew was coming, he still willingly surrenders himself into their hands. He asks them, "Who is it that you want?" Their answer, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus' response, "I am he." And then, what effect did that have on them? John tells us, when Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Now, don't misunderstand that. It's not like this was some kind of natural reaction on their part. "Oh, my, whoa, you are? Wow, you're really being honest with us." This was not a natural reaction. This was like a supernatural reaction, right? This was a miracle that God, Jesus Christ, was carrying out. That with his voice, these professional killers, these armed guards, are all knocked on their backside. That's not just normal. That's proof that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He proves that nothing that is happening here is out of his control. He proves that if he's going to be arrested, it's only because he is going to allow it. Which really brings us to the second thing that Jesus reveals about himself. By volunteering himself, by fulfilling God's plan of salvation, Jesus proves, secondly, that he is the selfless servant. I mean, you think about it. Where in this account do you see Jesus thinking of himself first? I mean, if you and I were in his shoes, and we saw this mob coming with the torches from this direction, right, we'd be all going that direction. Let's get out of Dodge while the getting's good, right? I got to save my own hide. I'm going to look out for number one. And even if we don't take the flight mode, we might take the fight mode, right? If I'm the most important person, then I'm going to make sure I'm not going down without a fight. Isn't that what Simon Peter did? Right? When he's confronted by these guards, he whips out his sword and tries to take somebody's head off. Kind of clips his ear instead. What was Peter thinking? Peter was thinking of himself. See, Peter had already bragged that when everybody else falls away, I won't, Jesus. Well, he's already flunked the first test. He already fell asleep 3 times. And so his ego is already hurting. So he figures, here's his chance. I'll polish my image here. I'll defend Jesus. I'll save you, Jesus. But he's not really thinking about Jesus. He's thinking about himself. How can I look good? This is what I want to do. This is what I think is best. Here, I can make myself look better. If we're honest with ourselves, don't we often think and act like Peter did? This is what I want. This is what feels good to me. This is what I think will make me look good. I don't want to do what God wants. I want to do what I want. I'm going to serve myself, what's in my best interest. In fact, isn't that what makes Jesus' actions here so remarkable, so selfless, right? When he sees the guards coming, he doesn't say to his disciples, hey, why don't you guys take my place so I can get out of here? I'm more important than you guys are. No. In fact, he had already told them, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when the mob is coming, when he knows what's happening, Jesus doesn't run. He steps forward and he says, I am he. I am the selfless servant. But maybe the most remarkable quality that Jesus shows here is how he cares for the people who are entrusted to him, his flock, whether it's his disciples here or it's his believers here. Jesus, with those simple words, it is I, also shows us that he is our loving shepherd. Isn't that the truth? You think about how Jesus, who calls himself the good shepherd, kept watch over his flock at night. When the guards confront Jesus, after he identifies himself, what does he say? He says to the guards, if you are looking for me, then let these men go. It's kind of ironic, isn't it, that as Jesus is being arrested, he's still kind of calling the shots. He's telling them, okay, you can have me, you can't have them. Why does he say that? Well, John tells us. This happened that the words Jesus had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus had talked about the importance of protecting those who had been entrusted to his care by the Father. That's what he's doing here. He's protecting them. First, from physical harm, right? If they would have been arrested with Jesus, it's very conceivable that they could have endured a lot of the same physical hardships, torture that Jesus endured. I mean, they were his followers, right? They were on his side. Jesus wants to protect them, wants to spare them from that pain. But more importantly, he wants to protect them from the spiritual harm that could come to them. I mean, Jesus knows that if they would see everything that Jesus had to go through, I mean, the absolute humiliation, the mocking, the beating, the spitting, the scourging, it might well have destroyed their faith. And so he protects them from that. He decides he has to go to the cross by himself. And that fulfills scripture that said, when the shepherd is struck, the sheep will scatter. But now maybe you're thinking, you know those words that Jesus said, I've not lost one of them you gave me? Well, that's not really true, is it? I mean, Jesus lost one. He lost Judas. No, Jesus didn't lose Judas. Judas lost Jesus. Judas walked away from Jesus in spite of everything that Jesus did for him and the love that he showed him. Think about that. Up when he's in the upper room, Jesus in effect is pleading with Judas to rethink what you are planning to do. Jesus says to Judas, woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. And even here in the garden, he's still a shepherd to Judas. He calls him his friend. And when he comes to kiss him, he says to him, Judas, you're betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Both of those were invitations to Judas to recognize what he was doing, to turn away from his sin and turn back to Jesus. But Judas refused. Even after Judas realized what he had done, even though he realized what a horrific thing he had done, he still didn't turn to Jesus. Even though Jesus, in effect, had his arms open saying, Judas, I will forgive you. Turn to me. Judas doesn't. He doesn't turn to Jesus. He turns to the hangman's noose instead. Is there any warning here for us? Yeah, there is. Judas was one of the 12. There's no reason to believe that he was not a true believer like you and me. And somewhere along the line, something became more important to him than Jesus. Somewhere along the line, something began to control his heart. And in the end, he lost his faith. And in so doing, he was lost forever. Again, is there a warning there for us? Yeah. St. Paul says to you and me, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. When those words cut you to the heart, when you realize with me that I'm capable of doing exactly what Judas did, then I want you to look back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want you to ask yourself, who is the one who knows everything you've ever done, who knows the dark spots in your heart, and still loves you? Who's the one, when you are weak, can come with his word and knock those enemies that are threatening your faith back on their backsides? Who's the one who, even as he saw what was coming, this unspeakable pain that he would endure, still was thinking of you and not him? Who is the one who, after protecting his disciples there in the garden, now promises you, I will never let anyone snatch you out of my hand? Who is the one who is your almighty God, your selfless servant, your loving shepherd? Jesus answers all those questions with three simple words of truth. I am He. May those words keep your faith strong during the dark nights and the bright days until you and I see Jesus face to face in heaven. God grant it. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.